This is DomesticPreparedness.com. Since 1998, Domestic Preparedness has been a source of solutions for the professional preparedness community. Your host today is the managing editor, John Morton.
This audio interview is sponsored by MSA, the global leader in the development, manufacture, and supply of sophisticated safety products. To learn more, visit www.msanorthamerica.com.
Domestic Preparedness is with Tom Lockwood, the Senior Advisor for Credentialing Interoperability with the Department of Homeland Security's Screening Coordination Office. We met with Tom last year when he was the Director of the Office of the National Capital Region Coordination, where he oversaw and coordinated federal programs to tie state, local, and regional authorities in the NCR. Prior to joining DHS, Tom was the Homeland Security Advisor and Deputy Director of Maryland's Office for Homeland Security. And today, we're going to talk a little about his efforts to establish an extendable credentialing framework for incident management and other all-hazards and homeland security applications. Tom, it's great to be with you again.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk to your audience.
Now, first let's start with an overview of what you've been doing since you started with the office this past April. Now, you brought from NCR the insights that you'd taken from your experience with the FRAC, the First Responder Authentication Credential. Isn't that right?
This was a great opportunity. What we had the opportunity here from the National Capital Region, we had done a number of firsts. There's a number of federal resources. We have some really great state and local folks here in our region. And it was an opportunity to take some of those good ideas we had worked on that we had fielded and start thinking about those at the national and, in some cases, international level. Looking at the first responder authentication card here in the NCR, we really think that this works. Now the question is, does that help us at the national level? How do we think about tying that into programs like TWIC at the ports or CITA badging at the airports? How does that tie into some of the professional credentialing, knowledge worker programs that are being managed by organizations, federal, state, local, private? And how do you construct this in a way that really makes sense?
Well, you told me the other day that the screening coordination separates identification from the granting and management of privileges. Now, this is an interesting concept. Can you explain your terms here and what you mean by differentiating the two?
I think that we all experience this from everything from filling out forms to getting a driver's license to going to the airport. It's this question of identity and privilege. And what we've seen now is a desire to split identity from privilege so we don't have to continually validate that we are who we say we are. And that when we can manage privileges better, those privileges like, do I have the privilege to drive a car? Do I have a privilege to be a law enforcement officer carrying a gun? Do I have a privilege to carry a gun on an airplane? Okay. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that we really want to make it simple to understand the privileges and cases to revoke privileges. So day to day, if you grant a privilege, how do you do that in a more effective way?
Now, for incident command and the first responder, how does NIMS take advantage of this framework exactly?
One of the key pieces of NIMS is commonality of skill sets. How do we make sure that you get the capabilities you want when you want them in the form that you want and need them? When you're asking for something from your partners in another state, you really can't afford the time to get something that's not what you really wanted. While you're looking at things like credentialing and NIMS, it's tying this back into the training dollars that are being invested, how we're starting to manage core capabilities and skill sets, how are you tying that back into issues like mutual aid, or in some cases just the whole concept of multi-state compacts, so that you get what you want when you ask for it.
Tom, the same advantages would apply to airport and port security as well, right?
At the port and the airport, we already have levels of regulated credentialing. You're going to see this in the TWIC program that's being rolled out now. We have some 60,000 TWIC holders. You also see it at the airport in the badging when we start talking about the CITA badging. But across this, you're going to have federal people that are working in ports and airports. You're going to have uniformed services, everyone from the Coast Guard to the National Guard and states. And they'll have a framework of interoperability, cards that can be authenticated through common systems that you can make an informed decision.
Now, what about for hospitals and public health?
One of the key pieces that we did with the first responder authentication card is to work with the health community. One of the challenges that the health community has is overall professional credentialing and trying to make informed decisions. The technology works. We've worked with San Antonio and Pittsburgh to start tying this in. The next major exercise happening in the fall in the FRAC, and I'm sure that Chris Gelthart will be happy to come talk about that, is really tying this in with the medical community even tighter.
Mm-hmm. Tom, what are the challenges that you're facing in this rollout?
The challenges are very much like the challenges of NIMS. This goes back to your audience themselves to say, how in your day-to-day jobs do you really look at things like resource typing and how do we develop our workforce? How do we make some level of commonality between what we do in our organization with that of our neighbors? So this is not going to be a short-term fix. This is tying it into the long-term. How do we really get those resources? How do we manage the resources? How do we develop our people over time? This is not a quick flash in the pan. It's a commitment to this approach over time, working together in a distributed environment.
Now, with respect to time, tell us a little bit about the timelines ahead. What are the next steps for your office and, if you will, the rollout milestones that you're going to be going through?
Well, obviously with TWIC, this was a very advanced program. That's now being fielded. We would think within the next year or so, most of the TWIC enrollments will be taking place. That will be about 1.5 million. We already have about 4.3 million uniform cardholders, Department of Defense, Coast Guard, Uniform Public Health, National Guardsmen. When we talk about CIDA, as we look through the CIDA, we would envision over the next couple of years that population of about 2 million cardholders in addition to, again, the TWIC holders. One of the challenges now when we talk about first responders is how big that pool of first responders is. Is that law enforcement community? Well, there's anywhere between 2 to 4 million of those, and we're looking at, again, coordination with the FAMS and Arm Leo and the privilege of carrying guns on planes, and how do we sort through those? We also look at the total first responder pool in the United States. There's a number of people and a number of programs that are in place.
Mm-hmm.
Large groups.
Well, Tom, this has been short and sweet, but as always, thanks for your time today, and thank you very much for your service to our country.
My pleasure. Thanks for everybody, what you all do. Thank you.
This has been a Domestic Preparedness podcast interview. Thank you for listening.